Grace and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is from the epistle lesson for this, the presentation Sunday, from the second chapter of Hebrews. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us a rich measure of your Holy Spirit, so we may hear and receive with faith your holy words of life. Grant us the joy of your victory over sin and death, so we may live in Jesus. Amen. Late breaking news, screams the television set every night. Late breaking news. But sometimes the news is really quite earth-shaking. I remember one telecast, and a reporter was asking a woman about her reaction to the late breaking news, and she said, "I am going to remember this like November 22. I think we all know what that means, November the 22nd. Most of you were alive at that time, the assassination of President Kennedy. There have been certain dates in our American history that come down to us. You don't even have to say the year, you just say the date. Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. December 7th, another of those kind of dates. 9/11, we don't even say the month. 9/11, we know exactly what that is referring to. And interestingly, too, is the fact that when the date is said, we can almost always say, "And I know what I was doing when I heard the news." November 22nd, I was standing in the hallway of my high school waiting to walk into U.S. history class. How ironic. When the news came that President Kennedy had been assassinated. 9/11, my wife Linda called. She had gone to work earlier that morning, and she said, "Turn on the TV. It looks like an airplane crashed into the trade towers in New York." I turned on the TV, saw the picture of the airliner crashing into the trade tower. And I remember exactly what I thought. It's Al-Qaeda. And it was. Another date, maybe not quite so closely remembered, January 28th. And I'll throw in the year, 1986. Some of you are puzzled by that date. I remember where I was. I had just driven into the parking lot of a paper supply store to pick up some stuff for church. I heard the news. I walked in. There were two men in the front, and I said, I just heard on the news that the Challenger spacecraft broke apart. They both stared at me. One of them, looking at me, reached for the telephone, just as a clerk came out of the back saying exactly what I had said. To this day, I don't know if he was about to call the police because he had some lunatic in his shop. But that was an eventful date. And yet, if you think about it, November 22nd, December 7th, 9/11, on each of those 3 days, a child died of some disease, a woman died of cancer, a man had a three-car pileup and died in an automobile accident. Who were they?
Don't know. I doubt if you know either. Don't know their name. We don't think about that date with them. Maybe their families do. Maybe their families remember the date, remember the loss of that loved one, but I don't. I doubt if you do either. Last Sunday, Kobe Bryant, a well-known basketball player, was killed in a helicopter accident along with, I believe, 8 other people. Will we remember his death date? Will we say, oh yeah, January 26th? 5 years from now, how many will remember that date and make that association? Probably none of us will, except the hardcore basketball fanatics, the ones that remember every little bit of information, like Linda, Michael Jordan. Tell me about his dining room table. Aren't you edified by that? That's something a fanatic would remember. That would be something they would really tune in on. They would remember that. For most of us, not so. Why is it that one person's death can mean so much more than another person's death? Our epistle lesson this morning tells us that God became flesh. Jesus took on flesh and blood for us in order to keep the law for us. You see, when God created our first parents, he created them to be perfect. They had no sin. He placed them in a perfect garden, a paradise. And catechetical instruction was very short. One commandment that you had to remember. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. That's all. Very simple. But we know what happened. Our parents, our first parents, ate from that tree. They disobeyed God. Satan brought rebellion into paradise. And where there was sin, there came death. That's what Satan wanted. And our parents brought that in. And through one man's death, one man's disobedience, the whole human race is faced with the same problem, death. And through the ages, God repeated his promise over and over and over again through his prophets, like Hosea chapter 23, I will redeem them from death. That was God's promise. And then Jesus came. God sent his only begotten son to be born a human being so he could be our substitute, so he could stand in our place, so he could do what we could not do. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. And by being our substitute, he accomplished what we could not do. Remember in the Old Testament, David. Early in his life, David takes some food to his brothers who are serving in the army. There's a battle that's about to brew. Philistines on one side, Israel on the other side. Philistines had a great idea. Why should we all get messed up in this battle? We'll send our champion out to you. You send your champion out to us. And whoever wins decides the battle. Except, of course, the Philistines' champion was Goliath, who stood at 9'9". Wow, what a basketball player he could have been. He could have just stood near the basket, throw the ball to him, he should have just practically dropped it in. There's Goliath, a giant, huge spear, very large sword that he boasts, I'm going to cut the head off of anybody that opposes me. Armor. He was set for battle. And what comes out to meet him? David. Not even 16 years old. No armor, no spear, no sword, just a sling. Goliath thinks it's a big joke until that sling slung and a rock hit him right in the forehead and knocked him out. And then David walked over and picked up Goliath's sword and cut his head off. What is so wonderful about that story is it tells us exactly God's plan of salvation. God takes Satan's weapon, death, and turns it on him, destroys him, ends any hope of victory that he might have by having his son die for our sins and pay the full price so we might be saved. Paul puts it this way in Romans 4, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Remember those dates that I began with, December 7th, one of them? We all know that's the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the start of World War II for us. A day that will live in infamy. See how those things stick in our minds. But you know, for me, December 7th has another meaning. I don't remember the bombing of Pearl Harbor. I wasn't born yet. But for me, December 7th is when I became a child of God through holy baptism. That's a very significant date for me. Because God gave to me what I could not possibly earn. God gave to me his full grace and salvation, won on the cross by his son, Jesus Christ. He gave it to me, a present. I did absolutely nothing to deserve it, nothing to work for it. I was carried in my mother's arms. The pastor spoke those words that Christ commanded. I was about as passive as you could get. Or maybe I was screaming my head off. I don't remember. But through baptism, I became a child of God. Paul writes, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. December 7th, 1947, the day of my emancipation, no longer a slave to Satan, a child of God, bonded to Christ's death and resurrection, looking forward to the day that I will receive it completely. You know, I've noticed with older people that if you bring up the fact that they're going to have a birthday, they're not that thrilled about it. Not like a six-year-old. Oh boy, a six-year-old's ready to party a month before and a month afterwards. But the older you get, those birthdays, they're not quite so joyful. But I can tell you that if you remember your baptismal day, make that your baptismal birthday. The closer you go, every time it comes up, it means you're that much closer to eternal salvation that Jesus Christ has prepared for you. Amen.